Chapter 3, Zephaniah chapter 3, and the title of the message this morning is a call to sing. As we have studied in this passage of Scripture on Wednesday evening, we were looking at the first chapter of this book, and it's a word of great sorrow. This book does not begin with singing, but rather it begins with a word of judgment. It says in Zephaniah chapter 1, it says in verse 2, I will utterly consume all things from off the land. I will consume man and beast. I will consume fowls of the heaven and fish of the sea and the stumbling blocks of the wicked. I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. This we know historically of the conquest of Babylon, how that Babylon came in and conquered the known world. And this was especially for the people of God a great trouble, a great trial. But this spiritually has its significance in the greater destruction of God concerning the fall of man. The fall of man and the curse of God upon man. Because of man's sin, death, spiritual death, consumed the whole race. The whole race. Therefore, Paul writes in Romans 3, in verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 8 and verse 7, he says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he talks about the natural man receiveth not the things that be of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because he is spiritually discerned. Spiritually, the word discerned means judged. He has been judged of God. What is the verdict of God's judgment? It is the curse. Death is the verdict. The verdict of all upon all men for sin is death. Spiritual blindness. Spiritual deadness. Why then is the flesh so opposed to the things of God? J.D. and I were talking. I'm going to use you a lot, J.D., because you talk to me now. So if J.D. talks to me, and he probably won't talk to me anymore since I'm using him. But we talk of the physical struggles that we have concerning the worship of God, concerning prayer, concerning those things of God. Why is it that the flesh all of a sudden runs out of strength when it comes to serving God? You not found that out? You've not seen that? You can have all the excitement in the world when it's something and the flesh is desiring. You could stay awake for days, but come to the worship of God and, oh, it's so tough. The flesh despises the things of God. It does. Naturally, carnal flesh is enmity. It is hatred against God. And yet, the voice of the Savior comes so sweetly to the ears of such rebellious sinners, such hateful men, and says, come unto me, you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and you'll find rest. You that are burdened with sin, come and welcome. Come to Christ and believe on Him. You that cannot break free from your sin. Have you found sin to be a chain that you cannot free yourselves? He says, come to me and I'll set you free. I'll set you free. salvation, reconciliation with God, pardon from sins, can only come by the obedience of Jesus Christ. And only redemption comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is nothing you can do to merit it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It has all been accomplished in the Son of God, by the Son of God. And come to Him alone. Come to Him without merit. Come to Him without hope. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. To what? Repentance. Sinners to repentance. And yet this same Lord who commands us to come understands completely our inability to come. He understands that. He's not devoid of that. He says, those people were starting to murmur. He said, I'm the bread of life that came down from heaven. And they began to murmur among themselves. They didn't want it. They didn't understand it. And He said, why are you murmuring? Don't do that. It's futile. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Do you realize that if you come to Christ, it is because the Father hath drawn you with His irresistible grace and pulled you in by His power? He said that in Psalm 110, He said, Thy people shall be willing. When? In the day of Thy power. In the day of Thy power. If you've come to Christ, that's a miracle of grace. That's not an effort of your decision or your will. It is a miracle of God's grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, He bids men to come, even though we're impotent to come. Unable. The fall of man, friend, is no small bruise. No small bruise. I know a man just called me recently. He said, I fell off of a ladder and I ruptured my Achilles tendon. And he said, the problem was I was only 2 foot off the ladder. he was only a few rungs up on the ladder when he fell off. But I tell you, man's fall was no simple bruise. It was no simple fall by which men can shake the dust of their sins off and be accepted. That's what most of us do, just shake it off. You figure you fall, you shake it off, and you can get up and go on. That's not the fall I'm talking about. When God sent the curse, when God's judgment fell on man, the curse ran so deep that no man could recover himself from it. People say, well, preacher, I know I've sinned. I know my family's a mess. I'm in trouble. I got all kinds of problems because of my sin. And you know what? I just pick myself up. I'll just pick myself up and I'll just move on. That's what I got to do. I just got to press on. I'll start doing things right. I'll join a self-help group. I'll get a good job. I'll become a good citizen. I'll start voting. I'll tell you what, I'll come in and I'll go to church and I'll be baptized and I'll join the church. I'll do a lot of things. Great. You know what? That gets a lot of points with me. I like that. And you may like that. That gets you no points with God. None. All your goodness is nothing but sin. Did you get that? All your best deeds are altogether filthy in the eyes of God. That will do nothing. Men do not need to turn over a new leaf. They need new life. They need life. Oh, sinner, forsake your thoughts, forsake your works, forsake your sin, and come now without merit. Why would any of you wait? Is there a reason to tarry? When Christ says, come to me, sinners, and I'll give you life, is there any reason that you would tarry? Come now, believe now, trust now in Christ, and forsake everything else. Being devoid of merit is no reason to stay away. Matter of fact, that's a reason you should come. You should come. Come to Him by faith in His person and His work. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. What does that mean? What does that mean? He's telling us that I mentioned this morning, eat His flesh and drink His blood. What is that? His flesh speaks of His person. His person. I'll tell you, there are not many of the billions of people upon this planet that have not heard or even professed faith in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, in this religious generation, I find very few. I find very few who... I was speaking to a man this morning, and he goes nowhere to worship, has no desire to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet he says, I know Him, I know Him. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. If he knew Him, he would desire to hear Him. If he knew Him, he would love Him. If he knew Him, he would love His people. And yet he has no desire for any of that. That man does not know Christ. Yet, he says, I know Him. What does he mean? Well, he knows a lot about Him. He knows a lot about Him. But he doesn't know Him. How many of these billions of people actually know Jesus Christ? Many profess to be saved by Jesus Christ, but have no understanding of who He is or what He's done. The Scripture is very clear. In Romans chapter 10, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I've told you to come. Christ said to come. If you're a sinner in need of mercy, He says, come unto me. But how are you going to come unto Him and believe on Him if you've never heard of Him? That's what the apostle says. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You not see the necessity, the means that God has provided by which men hear and believe? He said, faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by grandma. Grandpa, is that what it says? No, by the Word of God. The Word of God. When I come up here, do I make up stories to tell you? I don't spend my time trying to make up stories. I got enough to preach out of this book that'll last me a lifetime. Behold, I'm preaching this morning to you a person. The great person of Jesus Christ, who was God manifest in the flesh. He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven, even because He is God, blessed forever. I am preaching God, the Son of God. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And down in verse 14 of that same chapter, he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Consider the Son of God was made flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Paul said, this is a mystery. It's a mystery. Now we who know God believe in the sacred Trinity of His persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God. One in will. One in essence. One in decree. Yet three distinct persons who manifest themselves in the salvation of men. Isn't that how we know of God? God the Father. What is the work of God the Father in saving His people? It is election. The Father hath chosen a people for Himself out of His sovereign eternal love. The Son agreed to save them by shedding His own blood, by redeeming them with His own blood, to being their representative. And the Holy Spirit, He purposed to the elect to give the elect life and faith and to keep them until He brings them safe into heaven. You see, salvation is completely then the work of the living God. But behold the Son of God. The Son of God, to redeem His elect, must have been made flesh. The sins of the elect, my friends, are very real. My sins are very real. I am no pretend sinner. I am truly a sinner. I thank God every day You cannot see into my heart. You would have nothing to do with me. I know that I am a sinner and my sins are real. Therefore, my Savior must have really paid for my sins. The Savior must have come in the flesh and suffered as a man in order to represent me, the sinner. You see, He must become flesh to be made the second Adam or the second representative. In Romans 5, verse 19, it says, "So by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners." By the disobedience of Adam, we were made sinners. Even so, by the obedience of one, many should be made righteous. This is how God purposed to save sinners. Christ's obedience in the flesh was accomplished to accomplish righteousness, to merit righteousness on the behalf of His people. This is what He came to do. This is His work. This is His person that He came to represent us in the flesh. I'll ask you, do you need righteousness that you continually fail to merit? I need it every second of every day. Are you weary of striving in religion to be righteous? Then come now and find rest from your labors. All that work you're doing, it's useless. Put it down and come to Christ and rest. Rest in His complete righteousness. By the obedience of one. Not by your obedience. By His. You obtain righteousness. Come now and believe on Christ and you shall never be without righteousness. You'll never lack righteousness. You who are in Christ, you'll never lack it. This is what it is to eat His flesh. It's to rest on His obedience. That's what it is. Eat His flesh is to trust in His righteousness. What is it to drink His blood? To drink His blood is to believe in His work of atonement. Atonement for sin. The election of the Father, get this, the election of the Father did not redeem anyone. Do you realize the power of the Holy Spirit redeems no one? It is the work of the Son of God alone to redeem His people from their sins. It was His work alone. Only blood could redeem us. The Father could not bleed. The Spirit could not bleed. Only the Son was made flesh and could bleed. Only the Son was made flesh and can bleed. This is why He was prepared a body, so that He should shed His blood for the remission of sins. You know, when I hear of cancer patients, you know what the greatest word for them is? Remission, isn't it? Your cancer's in remission. They like to hear that word. But this word goes much further than just like remission of cancer. That means that their sin is shrinking, or their cancer is shrinking or getting smaller. Your remission, believer, is that it's gone. That's what it is. Your remission of sins means that they're gone forever. Never to be seen again. Never to be seen. When the high priest entered into that presence of God on the great day of atonement, he could not enter without blood. Otherwise, he would die. He would die. Aaron and his priests of the law, they entered into that blood with blood of bulls and goats. But I tell you that Jesus Christ has entered into the most holy place, not with the blood of bulls that could never take away sin. He entered into the heaven of heavens, into the presence of God, with His own blood. With His own blood. He entered with His spotless blood. With His sinless blood. And God looked upon His blood and could not find any fault in it. And He said, "That's enough. It's finished." And Jesus, to let us know, before He died, said, "It is finished. Done." That's a good word, isn't it? Done means it's finished. It means it's done. It means it's complete. It's finished. This is the work of the atonement. And to drink His blood is to believe and trust that it is finished. The work of redemption has been wrought forever by the blood of the Son of God. That's what it is to drink His blood. Behold Him who is God manifest in the flesh, has obtained both righteousness and redemption. I'll tell you, there are many who say they believe that. All the while, they sit and hear of someone that I have no idea who it is. They talk of His name, they say His name is Jesus. But I have no idea who this person is, because they speak of a Christ who died for sinners but actually saved no one. Here's a great difference between the true Christ of the Scriptures and the false Christ of men's religion. Was He successful? Was He successful? Did Jesus Christ actually redeem and atone for sinners? Only those who are called of the Father to see our sin, to see our inability, we are called to behold and believe Jesus Christ, who has accomplished salvation. False religion boasts of a Jesus blood and righteousness that makes salvation possible. Listen, that Christ does not exist. Jesus, my Christ, the Savior of my soul, did not make salvation possible for me. He actually accomplished salvation for me. For me. Men say that He made it possible. And if they'll do this, and if they'll do that, and if they'll exercise their will, if they'll if they'll just accept Him, then His blood shall be made effectual or powerful to save them. No. No. I tell you, there is no cause for singing in such a Savior. Now go back to your text. I'm going to be quick. Sing. O daughter of Zion, shout Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. We sing and we rejoice only in a successful Savior. Look what He says here. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. Sing, O believer, for our Lord Jesus Christ hath obtained both righteousness and redemption for all of His elect. All of His elect. Therefore, all who are called to faith in Jesus Christ, sing and rejoice, for we serve a risen Savior. We serve a living Savior, a holy Savior who has redeemed us. And because of His success, God raised Him from the dead and exalted Him to heaven where He sits on the throne of glory. We serve a risen Savior because He has finished our work of redemption. Sing and rejoice because He's taken away thy judgments. The Scripture says, the reproach of them that reproach thee fell on me. The reproach that I had against God fell on Him and not me. The judgment of God fell on Christ. Fell on Him. The hell we justly earned, Jesus freely endured. The hell we justly deserved, He freely endured it all. Therefore we sing in the midst of our doubts. Now, which believer here does not have doubt? Who has such faith as to not have any doubt? I'll tell you, when your doubts come, you should sing. You should sing because the Lord has taken away your judgments. I like this song. It was written, from whence this fear and unbelief? Hath not the Father put to grief His spotless Son for me? And all the righteous judge of men condemned me for the debt of sin which the Lord hath charged on thee. Complete atonement thou hast made, and to the utmost farthing paid. Whate'er thy people owed. How then can wrath on me take place, if sheltered in thy righteousness and sprinkled with thy blood? If thou my discharge procured and freely in my room endured, the whole of wrath divine payment God cannot twice demand, first at my surety's hand and then again at mine. Do you see that? that God cannot demand twice payment. Is that not great? If your judgment have already been procured by Jesus Christ, already been endured by Him, He cannot come on you. He cannot. He's just. He's holy. And if my sins were paid at Calvary, He cannot come to me again and demand twice payment. Isn't that a relief? Isn't that cause to sing? It is. If you've been washed in His blood, it's great cause to sing. And sing, secondly, because He cast out your enemy. Look at that. He hath cast out thine enemy. The enemy of thy soul is Satan. I tell you, he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And listen to me, he will never devour you, child of God. He will never touch you. I tell you, he will tempt this flesh, and he does at times bring us low. But I tell you, he's already been cast out. Have you ever been accused? I know I accuse myself quite often. Many times the enemy would tempt us to sin, and when we do, he points at our conscience and says, look, look what you've done. Look what you've done. Surely you can have no right to stand before God. Surely you have no right to claim to be a Christian. But consider this, it's God that justified. It's Christ that died. Who is He to condemn us? He's nothing to condemn us. Now you start looking to what you've done to try to find justification, He'll condemn you all day and find every reason to cause doubt in your soul. But I'll tell you this, point Him only to the blood. And He has no right to say anything. The enemy is cast out. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Is that not a blessing? I'm glad for that promise. Therefore, the Lord is in the midst of thee. He, even by the Holy Spirit, dwells in us. Is that not comforting? Does that not cause you to sing that He will never leave you? If I could have left me, I would have left me a long time ago. I would have left me. There's no reason for me to stick around with me. I despise me. I'm the worst company. And I've got to be there all day with me. But He won't leave me. Matter of fact, He set up camp right here. And He ain't going anywhere. Know you not that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Christ said, we will make our abode with Him. Yes, the old man of sin still remains. He's present with us, constantly before our eyes. But instead of glorying, now our hearts despise our sin. And we cry and weep to our beloved. Sin breaks our hearts and we long for it to be ever removed from us. But thou, beloved of God, mayst sing. Even in your midst of your doubting, even in the midst of your warfare. For the enemy has been cast out and God takes up residence. God has taken up residence in you. Therefore now, know this, that none of His accusations shall stand against us. None of the enemy. And sing for this, number three. Look at what God says in the latter parts of verse 15. He said, "In the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore." Believer, take this promise and sing it as loud as you want to. You shall not see evil anymore. Nothing that happens to the believer is evil against you. Everything God does, He does for you. Everything that happens in time and providence is directed by the hand of God who loves you. In Jeremiah 29, God says, I know my thoughts for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Yes, but I'm dying. You shall not see evil anymore. I'm sick. That's not evil. My child died. That's not for your bad. That's for your good. Do you not see you have plenty to rest and to sing of? God intends it for your good. Now, I can't tell you how it's going to work together for your good. I can only tell you that it will. You shall not see evil anymore. Therefore, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, and don't let your hands be slack. In other words, don't mope. That's what he means by hand slack. Oh, when you just lay your hands down, oh, and I'm just weeping. He said, don't let your hands be slack. Don't let them hang down. Don't be afraid. Listen, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. Listen to His promise. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. This word rest, I thought it was really good that you should know this. It means silence. The Lord is going to be silent because of His love. In other words, all of your sin He shall never mention ever again. Even because it's not there. It's been removed. He shall joy over you with singing. Now I'll tell you what. I pray the Holy Spirit to give us such hearts to see this. Your God sings for you. When I was dating Cheryl, I have no good voice to sing. But I always wanted to sing to her. I did. I wanted, if I had a song that had meaning and purpose, and I wanted her to know how much I love or care about, I would sing her a song. And this is the song that God has sung to you. It is His Word. Here's His song. Here is His hymn book. Christ is the subject and the substance of the hymn, and the Spirit has sent His orchestra of preachers out with a melody of grace for undeserving, unworthy sinners. Come to Christ, for God sings over you. Who come. He sings. Can you imagine the voice then of that song? It's an eternal song. It has the highest melody. It's a melody of free grace. Now you should come and rest in it. You should come now and rest now. May God ever give us a heart to sing and to be so thankful for His grace, for His Son. May God the Holy Spirit give power to the Word. Apply it to your hearts. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer.